It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 180 of Radio TCX, your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy. I'm Tim Dugan, and I'm joined by my two co-hosts, your 2019 North American champion and the Colorado Tornado, Carson Ray.
Hello, everyone. Glad to see your puns there just keep getting worse.
And we've got my friend and yours, Mr. John McDermott.
Hello, everybody.
Absolutely, and it's a really big deal that John's on today. Because it's his birthday, and for some reason he thinks this is the best way to celebrate. We're a little unsure about that, but we're happy he's here.
John, I'm sorry that you think this is the best way to spend your birthday, and I'm also sorry if this is the best way to spend your birthday.
Well, that's the glory of it being my birthday. I can do whatever I want, so here I am.
You do exactly what you want. So you want to talk some X-Wing. Actually, I guess we can say it's a birthday present to you. You got to pick this week's topic, right? So what are we going to talk about this week, John?
Yeah, so we're coming up on September here, and we're just about to wrap out the first full year of second edition being out. It kind of got its early debut at Gen Con in 2018, so I thought it'd be a good thing to talk about today, kind of see where we're at now going into the first full year and what we thought of how it's gone so far.
Yeah, so we're going to divide this episode up with some questions that we're going to answer as a group and discuss some different points. We're going to look at the past year, how the first year of X-Wing 2nd Edition has gone. We're going to talk about how that affected us personally, some of our goals we were looking at. And we're also going to look a little bit forward into the coming year, the next full year of X-Wing 2nd Edition. So lots of great stuff to discuss today, so let's jump right into it.
Yeah, so as you know, John's reflecting on another year in his life, we had, our first year going through second edition and wanted to take, that same time to reflect on how this year went for us.
Yeah, and one of the easiest ways to do that would be to start by just kind of talking about what our favorite things about second edition are so far.
Yeah, and of course, because the other two are nervous, the lot fell on me to be the first one to discuss this. But I guess the first point we'll talk about is just our favorite thing overall from the first year of second edition, because I think we all took at least some positive things from this first year. We're all still playing the game, so that's a good sign. But when it comes down to like trying to figure out what my exact favorite thing from second edition is so far, I honestly think it has to be the diversity of mechanics. Having played first edition all the way to the bitter end, the game had devolved to a pretty rough state, especially competitively, where you were seeing a lot of the same few broken lists appearing all the time, and a lot of the gameplay had become uninteresting. You just reach a point where, you're playing against those fair ship rebel builds, and I realize, all right, I need to do a bunch of damage in this turn. I failed, so I'm just going to slow burn and lose the rest of the game. One thing I really like about second edition is I feel like there's a lot more diversity in mechanics. And a lot of it comes, actually, I think, from the shift to Extended being their premier competitive format. Because I feel like a lot of my games now in Extended, people will just show up with cards I haven't played against, even still, like, a year into this. The other day, I had to play against someone flying a Kimagila for the first time. I hadn't come across that on the table. And they've done enough rebalancing, not that the game's perfectly balanced, but the ships generally present new challenges, right? So there's every time a new mechanic's introduced when I'm playing someone, I suddenly have to reevaluate my strategy, look at my list, and make determinations like, all right, how does this affect my target priority? I was playing against a Kimagila and two IG-88s, and I was like, all right, which one am I going to kill first? Why am I going to do that? What's the biggest threat here? And I think a lot of that has come from the game moving away from the really powerful mechanics and abilities being in the talent slot and like turrets and munitions, and putting a lot of the more interesting abilities in ship abilities and pilot abilities specifically.
Yeah, just the diversity in what you actually see being played is awesome. Even within hyperspace, there's quite a bit of diversity. Even when you think there's an established meta, there's still a lot of other stuff that's pretty good, and you see it all around. So I think we've had a pretty healthy, diverse metagame, kind of throughout the year overall. There's been some points where it's not as diverse, but when you look at it across the whole year, like a lot of stuff gets played and it's all pretty good.
a big part of that too is like, I think there's still stuff that clearly falls into like the top tier, and then there's tiers below that. But like the space between the tiers, even at the higher levels, is a lot narrower than it was in first edition, where like, yeah, there were cool little tricks you could do, but usually those strategies just overall failed compared to whatever the top tier lists were. I feel like there's a lot more space there now where someone might bring, you know, a tier two list or something, but that might still give you a decent challenge.
Yeah, and I agree, Tim. Those things are all really good about second edition. And part of what I think makes that work so well, too, is having more frequent points adjustments, which can kind of shift up kind of the way the game is going and the meta is looking. But I think so far, one of my things that I've really enjoyed about second edition is that the game has actually transitioned back to positioning your ships rather than being able to just do mass amounts of damage. Mm-hmm. So at the end of first edition, we had a lot of guidance chips and like Miranda's ability and harpoon missiles, and it was just not a lot of fun. And now I think that the game kind of went back to basics a little bit. And, you know, and for me specifically as an ace player, positioning is so important. But I really feel like the gravity of the decision, you know, based on what move I'm doing, more now than I feel like I did in the couple years that I played a first edition. And I really like that.
Oh, I absolutely agree too. It's something I've especially realized since I started playing aces more, where I don't have a bunch of, you know, defensive mechanics I can rely on to protect me. Like if I put my ships in the wrong spot, I get penalized and I probably start to lose ships. And as much as like that hurts when I lose those games, it feels good overall to like feel like my decisions actually matter. It's not about the card comboing I'm bringing. Like there's way less spike damage, so my ships tend to be able to do something even if they're at lower initiative. But you know, if I make bad decisions with an ace, I'm gonna get penalized seriously. It's not, I can't escape out of it even with the force backing me up.
Right, and you know, with linked actions as opposed to push the limit where you can just take, you know, whatever combination of boost and barrel roll you want, I think there's a lot more pressure on setting that correct dial because most ships don't have all the options to reposition afterwards. And so that's definitely been pretty fun to have that challenge. You know, position's been important, but it's also a lot harder to do.
And I'm all about a good challenge.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's really nice to see, like I said, the mechanics moving away from all the powerful abilities really being in the talent slot or the munition slots and shifting those towards ships where they, you know, ships have linked actions. I've been playing against a lot of Star Vipers recently, which have been giving me a lot of trouble because I'm realizing how great like the barrel roll, the banked barrel roll into a focus is. That's a really powerful mechanic just on that ship, just on a generic. And that makes them really interesting to play against.
Well, Tim, they only ever link into a calculate.
Well, if you're only playing Gary, but even the generics, though, I feel like it makes the game more interesting because not everybody, like in first edition, a bunch of ships were running push the limit because that was how you got two actions. And having double actions was so valuable. Or there were other, like the first edition Predator card, lots of universal picks. Where now I feel like you can bring different upgrade cards. And even if some are clearly better than others, like the margins between how good they are a lot narrower. So you have to, you know, the decision making is a lot more interesting. But those are all obviously positive things here. I do want to ask you guys, is there anything you'd like to see change in the game? Hopefully in the next year or so. Is there any maybe oversights from the development that you'd like to see fixed or any changes you'd like to see to the game itself or the tournament structure?
Yeah, I mean, my big one is, you know, when it, you know, first launched, we had, you know, two distinct formats. We had the hyperspace format and the extended format. And I thought that was really cool to have two distinct formats. And then as the year progressed, they kind of got blurred into basically the same format. Now hyperspace is just kind of like a little bit more watered down, extended. Still has a bunch of the options, but not quite all of them for the original trilogy factions. And so it's just kind of like a weird, okay, what was the point state that we're at right now? And so I would like to see a return to two distinct formats. You know, you have your hyperspace where each faction has the same number of ship options. I think that's a really cool format. And then, you know, you have extended where everything's possible. I think those are two great formats, and I don't know why that's not what we have right now.
Yeah, the lines have really been blurred. Because even if Hyperspace having a little bit more limitations on what chips you can bring, we see a lot of the same archetypes do well. So it'd be cool to see that resource pool be even more narrowed. I would even be fine with a more aggressive like rotation of upgrade cards. Pull out some of the staples that people have been using in second edition just to make them try something new.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think restrictions make for interesting list building. So I'd like to see more restrictions be imposed on the Hyperspace format, bring it back to what it should have been.
I'm definitely on Carson's team here. I'd like to see a bit more distinction between Hyperspace and Extended, but one of the things that I specifically would like to see with the introduction of two new factions to the game is just more new content. I think FFG's done a pretty good job of re-releasing stuff that was produced in the first edition of the game. I know most of the upcoming wave is all re-released expansions, but it'd be nice to get a bigger pool of ships, even for the First Order and Resistance factions as well, using more stuff from the show. And I know we have Episode 9 coming out, so I'm sure we'll see something come out of that movie as well. But and just more content, which helps keep the game fresh and moving, introduces new metas to the game, can kind of change up competitive play a little bit, and overall I just think that makes for a much healthier game.
Well, yeah, and I mean, hopefully we'll get a lot of new content. There's so many new Star Wars sources that they can pull from. Obviously, we've got Episode 9 coming out. We've got The Mandalorian show coming to Disney+. We've got The Clone Wars coming to Disney+. So, you know, for multiple eras of the Star Wars universe, we're going to hopefully be seeing new ships and new characters appear. So hopefully that means a lot of opportunities. I don't, you know, the change I want to see, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I feel like we should keep talking about this because it's still a problem. I feel like we're due for kind of a major overhaul of the X-Wing Squad Builder app. It's just, I mean, it's functional with regards to most of the time it works, but it is not really benefiting the game, I think. It's not very user-friendly. It's still got a lot of bugs. You know, I've been telling people for a while, like, there was a good, man, this past year, there was a good six-month stretch where I had the app updated all the way, and I still could not, you know, save my squads. I don't know if it was an account linking problem, but I'd be logged in and just not be able to save my squads, which if this was the only resource that I had, you know, it would be really difficult to play the game to have to build my list in the app every time before I go. It's working for me now, but that still doesn't queue up the fix up the UI problems. You know, it's clunky. It's hard to navigate. It's not very intuitive. I would like to see, you know, this is a really good game. I've enjoyed the game overall, and I'm hoping to play X-Wing for many more years. So I would love to see an overhaul, better user interface, and just an overall update to the X-Wing app, because I think we kind of deserve that as a player base. We shouldn't be, you know, obligated to use this official app if it's not very easy to work with.
Yeah, I think it would be really cool to see this app be a lot more usable. All right, so we had quite the overhaul of the tournament structure this past year.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of the same guideline we've always had, but, you know, a lot of rebranding and, you know, there was a lot of big changes. So I guess, you know, was the current structure imposed this year good enough for the game? Do we want more? Are we pretty happy with it?
Well, I think there was just some informational problems. I think it was really hard to convey because Fantasy Flight switched over from its conventional tournament structure, which had store championships and regionals and nationals and all this stuff, and they renamed a lot of them. And like, I feel like the higher end competitive stuff was easy enough for people to track. A system open and, you know, the continental championships and worlds, that's easy enough to understand. I felt like we lost a lot of what is a big part of the backbone of the community when, you know, you switch from store championships to things like wave kits and premium wave kits. I don't know if it's just an aesthetic thing. I think generally, the promo quality has been pretty good. I like a lot of what they're releasing in the kits. But, like, the renaming of it, not having store championships, store championship seasons were, like, my favorite. And I felt like we haven't really gotten that back since they did the overhaul, which I guess is now going to change again in the next couple of months.
Right. So hopefully it changes back to the better. I think the wave kits really fell short this year. You know, the prizes for your weekly leagues or the wave kit championships, they just did not carry the same weight that the old store championships did. You know, names matter, and you know, when you call something a store championship, that has a little bit more meaning. You know, there was a trophy or plaque involved, Now you just got a little card. So it didn't really mean as much.
I might push back on that a little bit, though. I actually like exclusivity to some of the promo cards. I think that does feel a little bit more special of having, like, you know, acrylic cards for just the top performer out of the tournament. They've started to do that more. I know they did it with the Hyperspace Trials. And I actually, I really dig that about the game. We're like, oh, I have this promo card that actually means something, right? Rather than just being a handout prize for even just top 32 or something.
And I think, you know, when there is, I think, you know, a bit larger of a visual of a prize, like, I think you get more people to show up.
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with, like, the notoriety of, like, it's cool to say you're the store champion, because I still claim I'm the eternal store champion of Air Traffic Maple Grove, which has since closed. So that means I was their last store champion, so I'm the store champion forever. So the trophies and the plaques were cool. I think they're a little more meaningful at, like, the Hyperspace Trial level.
Right. I mean, and, you know, being a regional champion, that sounds a lot cooler than a Hyperspace Trial champion, right?
Sure. But, I mean, so it looks like we're getting regionals back, and they'll be a little bit more exclusive. I guess that's what I've inferred. Because there's just too many Hyperspace Trials that they kind of lost meaning. Actually, almost the Hyperspace Trials almost felt like Star Championships. But not quite. They seem to be pulling in similar numbers in Minnesota, at least.
Yeah, I think just the frequency of Hyperspace Trials really hurt the trials. Just player count for these Hyperspace Trials has been pretty low kind of everywhere, you know, compared to what we were seeing for regional events a year ago or a few years ago.
I will say I do like the System Open series. I've had generally positive experiences with all those, apart from, you know, whatever metagame issues we're seeing. But those tournament structures were cool. It was really cool to judge at Gen Con. That was a fun time. And that was a national championship.
While I have issues of the execution of the wave kits and the Hyperspace Trials, I think the high end here, the System Opens, the Primes, the Continentals, hopefully Worlds, they've all been awesome, and player attendance for those have been really high. You know, we've had a bunch of System Opens, you know, all over the place, and all of them have been pretty well attended, and I think everyone's had a blast at all those events.
Well, and actually, faction-exclusive prizes, I think, was one of their better ideas, too. It just made the event feel a lot more fun, I think, at Gen Con, and, like, having, you know, I get exclusive prizes because I played Separatists or because I played whatever. That's a cool way to encourage people to try different stuff out or continue playing in the tournament even if they don't have a strong enough win record to make day two.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to see more of that moving forward.
All right, so let's throw a question out here that's a little bit harder, I think, to talk about, but it's really important, and it's been something that's been on my mind since the release of Second Edition. So the real deal is, do you guys think that Second Edition is new player friendly? So, you know, accessible to people who have never played X-Wing before, no first edition, nothing.
Right, and so this is really important for a game to be, you know, inviting to new players, because you need new players for your game to continue to exist year after year. You know, players give up games, that's pretty normal. You know, you do it for a while, and then, you know, your interests change or life changes, you don't have time anymore. So it's pretty normal to lose players. But you need a way to, you know, just get new players, and that's fine, you know, to have turnover. But I think X-Wing Second Edition might be struggling a little bit with either gaining new players or retaining new players. I've recently just started trying to teach a new person the game, and he's a gamer, but it's tough to teach. You know, the core mechanics of the game, pretty simple, but that's not really what the game is, you know. Yes, you know, pick a maneuver on your dial, your ship does it, and then does an action. But the game is so much more than that. It's all about the big picture. You know, what's your strategy and your approach? How is your list flying together? And those things are really hard to teach. I've been struggling with it. So if you guys have any tips, listeners, send me a message.
Well, and I think a big problem is the format shakeup, too, because it seemed like what they were going for early on was that Hyperspace was going to be limited to, I assumed it was going to be limited to just ship re-releases. So you're only going to be able to access cards that had been officially re-released in Second Edition. Extended would be the everything format, but Hyperspace would supposedly be accessible to new players because they could just buy all the ships that were available. Then they did that weird thing where they just added more ships to the like older factions, which created this weird imbalance where even if you were a new player, you wanted to play Imperials, you didn't have a re-release of the TIE Interceptor, yet that was legal for people to play. So suddenly people who had just played the previous edition and bought a conversion kit had this weird advantage in like options, and a lot of those fairly like necessary options to make good squads.
Right. I mean, I think, yeah, that biggest offender there was the TIE Interceptor, because you were kind of wrong to be playing Imperials without the Interceptor, particularly Soontir Fel, unless you were playing like a TIE Swarm or something. But other than that, Soontir should have been in almost every list.
And I agree with you too, Carson. Like, teaching a new player how to play the game is really tough. And I think part of that is just because, you know, once you've played for so long, so much of the gameplay is just intuitive to you. So, you know, seeing the board, doing your maneuver, like how your list interacts with itself, you know, and how an actual upgrade card works, you know, with a ship ability or whatnot. Like, it's hard to teach intuition. And, you know, X-Wing is a lot of it is based on intuition. So, I mean, I always tell a new player when I'm playing with him, like, look, it's not that you did the wrong thing necessarily. It's just like, it just takes time and experience to get really good at the game. And, I mean, that can be a little hard to overcome at first. I mean, I remember when I first started playing, like, it was bad. Like, I'd just get trashed every time I'd play. So, you know, you just got to go. And the real key is just to keep playing, play more games, get ships on the table, and that's how you're going to get better.
Right. Well, and so I think with first edition, like, you know, the maneuvering thing has always been a part of the game. But with first edition, you know, if you could just, you know, read your list card combos and understand how those worked, you know, that could carry you quite far. And, you know, I'm glad that the emphasis has been shifted to mobility instead of, you know, list building combos. But I think that does make it a little bit more challenging for a new player to grasp.
Well, and I think it's kind of important to spell out. I think mostly what we're talking about is the more competitive side of the game, or at least like the local small scale competitive side. I think one of the merits that X-Wing has always had, even in first edition, even when it was getting incredibly broken, was it functions pretty good as like a kitchen table game, where if you don't know what the broken mechanics are, you don't know how to use them or build the list with them, the game's pretty fun and feels okay. And like you said, Carson, the core mechanics of the game are not that difficult to teach, right? But when you're looking on the competitive side, I think it is just really difficult for people who even just want to play it like a weeknight, you know, two round or three round event. Like, someone could just show up. You could be playing the hyperspace format, which is more limited. Someone just shows up with cards that you can't even get outside of a conversion kit, and you're just at a huge disadvantage. And that's not a good play experience where, like, well, I'd like to play with Soontir Fel, but I don't have the option to buy him anywhere unless I go find an older model and then go get cards out of a conversion kit and then have those all together so I can play
right,
my squad.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really talk about the barrier to entry. It's not great. You know, it was, I think, on launch. It looked a lot better compared to where first edition was. But, yeah, with the mess that the hyperspace format ended up, it got really complicated for new players because they had to really debate whether it was worth, you know, buying old stuff and getting a conversion kit or most of the new stuff. It's tough. You know, if you want to play Republic or Separatists, pretty easy. After that, it gets a little difficult.
That's honestly where I recommend new people start, right? Like, you can run some cool, like, mid-range Republic stuff. Like, you just get a Jedi Starfighter and then a couple ARCs or V-19s, and that teaches you most of what you need to know about the game, like, generally. That's a good overview of most of the mechanics in the game, and that's something where the Republic really excels, right? And you can get all the carts just by buying those expansions that you need to run competitive Republic stuff. I think generally Fantasy Flight did a good job for like enfranchised players, which I really appreciated, that people who had been playing first edition, getting those conversion kits, I thought were generally a good value, and you were rewarded for already having bought all the models. You know, you could just get cards to play out of the box and already have like a pretty complex game from the start, which is hard to do when a game launches. But I just feel like in this first year, they haven't done a great job making it accessible for new players. I remember we saw a pretty big spike in new players showing up in first edition when they released the Force Awakens core set and the new T-70 X-Wing and whatnot. We saw a big bump in players coming to like local tournaments, which was awesome, people joining the community. I didn't see it as much when second edition launched. There just weren't that many new faces around getting into the game, and I think like the limited number of options you could get was one of those factors that limits people. I'm hoping now that we have more re-releases from Fantasy Flight, there's more ships available. If you're a brand new player, you can now buy a Decimator and a B-Wing and all this stuff. I'm hoping that means this coming year will be a much better year to join the game.
Right, it is getting better.
Yeah, the more ships they re-release, the better it gets.
Yeah, just that transition period was not great. All right, so this is one I like thinking about. You know, I try to set goals for myself every year. You know, what are my X-Wing goals going to be for this year? And I think that really helps me focus on sets my expectations appropriately.
As I've taken the game more seriously too, it's interesting to like try and recognize what parts of the game you struggle with and where you need to improve. And that's something I've been trying to get better at, especially having to go into second edition, which feels a lot different than first.
Right. So with second edition, I decided, you know what, this is a great time. I'm going to be relearning the game anyways. I might as well spend more time, you know, learning a new play style. So one of my goals was to get better with Aceless.
I think you succeeded. I think that's pretty safe to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I didn't play any Aces before, but I never really had, they were never the main focus of the list. And that does really dictate your play style. You know, when you have some bruisers that can throw in and trade shots for a few turns, your approach is very different than when you fly all squishy Aces. And so that's been really fun, and I turned out really rewarding to set that goal and really go all in on it. It's paid off pretty well.
Pretty well. That's an understatement of the year.
Yeah. And, you know, with the change to the world's invite structure, you know, where you did need an invite to go to Worlds, or at least that's what we thought for the first half of the year, and I didn't get to play in last year's Worlds, so I really wanted to go to Worlds this year. So that was my main competitive goal, was get a Worlds invite, which, you know, ended up happening at the first big tournament I went to this year. So it was kind of a fun year where I kind of accomplished my goals really quickly. So then I have to, it's a great problem where now you have to come up with new goals. The year is still not over. So that's been really fun. And then just kind of personally for me, you know, I usually do pretty well in Swiss, and then I get to the cut and kind of fall apart. So my goal for this year was, you know, when you get to that opportunity, when you get to play at the cut, you know, you played well in Swiss, just keep doing the same thing, and don't outthink yourself in the cut. I would say I definitely had a little bit of a relapse in Phoenix, where I got through the first few rounds of the cut and then just completely outthought myself in my top eight match. Which was fine. I'd already gotten my invite, so I met my goals and kind of checked out. But for the rest of the season, I have focused on, okay, you make it to the cut. It's not over yet. There's still the important part of the tournament to go. So I was glad that that worked out well at Gen Con. And now I have to keep coming up with new goals.
Yeah, it's time to get some new goals. Though it's hard to do better than being the North American champion. For me, it's been a big year of relearning. So, like, one of my major goals to start out with second edition was I realized pretty quickly that I have to relearn kind of what X-Wing is, because there's a lot of carryover in a lot of things I learned in first edition that applied directly to second edition. So I got some, you know, foreknowledge. But I also realized a lot of the maybe more broken mechanics, or just kind of the things I'd taken for granted in first edition, weren't there anymore, because, you know, I was flying, you know, meta stuff towards the end. Depending on cards like auto thrusters to get defensive modification. And suddenly not having those resources, I realized that I had to make it a priority to try and learn to work without those, if only by necessity. And that part of that was pushing myself outside what my comfort zone was. Because, you know, at my heart, I've been a pretty much rebel slash resistance mid-range player for as long as I can remember. Those are the lists I have the most joy flying, where you get like one kind of ace or budgety ace and then just some efficiency stuff.
Right. I mean, you'd play kind of that mid-range in whatever faction. You played some mid-range imperialists, kind of.
And I started doing that again right when Republic launched too, where I like tried to settle in with like, okay, Obi-Wan and three Arc 170s. And while I enjoyed that list, I was having to come to terms and realizing that, okay, this is not tier one right now. I need to work on something else. And then rather than shift to another mid-range list or efficiency list, I went to something I didn't typically do, which is aces. And I've been really trying to push myself to explore, you know, making my decisions matter. With the arcs, I generally find myself in a position where they have so many hit points, I don't have to be as careful about my positioning. I can be more aggressive, and I know I'll probably survive a volley of fire or two. With ace play, you don't get that, right? Like, if I put my Rico Lee in the wrong position, I'm just going to get destroyed. If I don't set the right speed maneuver, he doesn't get the extra die. He gets destroyed. If I depend too much on force and put Anakin in a bad spot with just 2 agility on the 7B, he can take a lot of damage really quickly, something I've learned a lot even recently. So I've been trying to work to push myself outside what I know about the game in general and to try new play styles, just to, like, expand my knowledge base. So, you know, when I approach a competitive environment, I can actually shift to different list types and feel comfortable across the board.
Yeah, it has been fun to see you get a little bit outside your comfort zone there.
One of my main goals this year, like you, Carson, was to also get a Worlds invite. I haven't been playing X-Wing as long as you guys have. Tim actually had mentioned a little earlier in the show about how a lot of people kind of got into the game when the Force Awakens core set came out. And that's when I started playing. So it's been, I don't know, like 3-ish years. So I've had the unique opportunity to actually go to Worlds each year since I started playing, whether it being via button clicking or winning the raffle and getting a ticket. And it's just one of the highlights of the X-Wing year as a player to go and interact with so many different players. And I didn't want to miss out on that experience again. So I really wanted to get that invite and be able to go. And that kind of melded with one of my other goals, was to travel to another X-Wing event. Prior to this year, I'd never played X-Wing outside of the state of Minnesota. I think the farthest I'd traveled to play was like Plymouth to play at the Renegade, which isn't even really that far.
You didn't even go to Fargo?
No, never played at Fargo. So
you're missing out.
Wanted to get out of the Midwest, so I had the opportunity to go to the System Open. Yeah, right. got to go to the System Open in Denver with you guys this year and Big Vic.
Super
and
fun.
Tom Storm. It was fun. And then actually just earlier this month, I got to go to Gen Con for the first time with Paul Olson, which was also really fun. Two of those were definitely probably my like most fun experiences playing X-Wing so far since I started playing, which is really cool. And then I also really wanted to kind of divert away from ace play. I kind of settled into that right away when I started playing. But I wanted to try some other, you know, varieties of archetypes. If you go back and listen to the episode we did about archetypes, we talked about mid-range lists. I did a little bit of that earlier this year. I had a quick draw and 2 silencers lists that I had a lot of fun with. Back when they were still doing like the wave tournament kit, whatever things you want to call them. I flew Vader Rack, so that's kind of like your ace plus battleship. That was super fun to just put on the table and have a good time with. And I'm not much of a swarm player, but I wanted to try to dip into efficiency lists a little bit. So my hot list for a while was the 4 arcs, which I actually... Yeah. So I took the 4 arcs to Gen Con. It was pretty successful at that, and it was just a lot of fun to fly, too, having 4 medium bases on the board. So all in all, it was a pretty good year. You know, those goals worked out pretty well for me, and there's still time to try out some things before Worlds and then kind of get ready for the next year.
Now, I think that's a really good goal to travel to that X-Wing event, because that's something I think everyone's a little nervous to do. You know, it's a lot of effort, but man, it's totally worth it. It's just such a positive experience. You know, even when I don't do well at a big event, it's just fun to hang out with everyone and meet the people that, you know, you only see a few times a year, but if you all travel to the same events, you get to see them a few times every year. So that's really
yeah.
Fun.
I mean, one thing we haven't touched on too is like the community has always been one of the strongest parts, if not the strongest part of X-Wing to me. Like, I really love the local community we've built in Minnesota. I love, you know, running into people I've met from across the country and across the world. You know, our friends, we got friends down in South America, Alejandro, we got people in California, we got people on the East Coast. There's so many cool people I've got to meet through X-Wing, and you know, every opportunity I get to travel outside of Minnesota or when people come here for Worlds, it's always really exciting just because I get to see those people, and we have this common interest in X-Wing and all things nerdy and Star Wars. And it's just been a really positive, you know, positive part of my life in the last few years, having this community and being a part of it. I guess maybe one of the last questions we can do here, too, is there, like, any list in particular you guys really liked flying this year? It was a big year for experimentation with the release of 2nd Edition. So was there any list that you flew that you really, even if it wasn't the most competitive, was the one you got the most joy out of?
I mean, man, so many great choices for me. I've really enjoyed so many of the lists that I've flown in 2nd Edition. I mean, there's definitely been the one that I've flown for most of this year. And that was just, it was all around fun. The Danger Zone, Resistance Aces, Poe, Nian, Lulo, particularly that Nian with the black one, and Pattern Analyzer. And then later he even got Afterburners. That ship was just the best puzzle ever. Every game it's like, okay, I have this really cool turn I can do. And just trying to figure out how to maximize that potential every game. It was just a really fun, you know, visual puzzle to solve with, okay, I do a three bank here, Afterburners boost, slam into a Talon roll, can even link a barrel roll in there. A lot going on, and it was just really fun to put on the table, but also it was just a fun list building process, working through it with the Mile High Squadron guys here in Denver. Everyone kind of worked on it, flew the same squad, and we iterated together, figured out what upgrade cards were the most important, tried a bunch of different things. And so whenever you get into that kind of really team building, list building process, it's just, it's very rewarding. And I think it's really good team building exercise as well.
Did you feel a little bit bad that you weren't able to win the North American Championship with Danger Zone?
Yeah, well, just with, you know, all the different points updates, I was just adding things up, and I was looking at the Republic Aces and realizing, you know, they can do most of the same tricks, except they also have regen and force points. I was like, I guess I should just shift over, but my Danger Zone models are all painted up sweet. Now they have LEDs, so that list will always stick with me.
And who knows what the future holds. Yeah, it was kind of like making that sacrifice between what you find the most fun and then or interesting and then shifting over to what can win games for you. The same place I was in, I really actually love...
I mean, I still had fun with the Republic Aces. Like, it's very similar mechanically.
Oh, no. Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's a lot of overlap.
Just different faction.
Like, I had a particular affinity for that 3-arc and Obi-Wan list, not only just because it fell in kind of like the parts of X-Wing that I always enjoyed, but, you know, the most fun I had out of that was nobody expects the 3-bank from the arc followed by a red barrel roll to block you. Like the first time that would happen to people, they'd realize like, oh, I didn't realize he could reach that far and then block my ship. And then suddenly there's your ace with no actions from a bump with Obi-Wan and 2 arcs shooting at him. That was a good feeling the times I was able to pull that off.
It's so good. So good. I love it.
Well, and John, you had a lot of experience with the arcs too. Was that your favorite list to fly?
No. I had a lot of fun with it, but I actually, for a little while around the time that the campaign against cancer was going on, I had a Forlom, Paylob, and Old T list that I was just loving every minute of. I'd kind of toyed with it. Oh, yeah. And I don't normally play control lists, but I'd played around with that a little bit kind of in the fall/winter. I was like, oh, that seems fun. Maybe I'll just table that one for later. And I pulled it out. And man, it's just really fun. And I feel bad because there's so many cool tricks in the list. Like I had L3 on Paylob, and I was playing actually against Shane Liebich at the final table at CAC, and he rolls up with Nora and just like natties 4 crits. He's like, oh yeah, that seems pretty good. And I just slid the card across the table, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to have you re-roll those. And he's just like, oh. But yeah, that list was a lot of fun to fly. I definitely wouldn't call it like super competitive. Like I wasn't going to take that to Gen Con or anything, but just a lot of fun, a lot of cool tricks. And cool to get those 3 ships together on the table.
So I'm actually, like, we've got cool stuff coming up in the next few months, or half of the year. So I guess our X-Wing year kind of caps off with Worlds, and then we'll start the next one. We're recording this, I guess, a little bit early, but I feel like it's kind of fun to talk about this in anticipation of the next Worlds in just, you know, a couple months here. We've got cool stuff to look forward, though. There's going to be more major events across the country, more system opens, more, you know, national events and grand championships and whatnot. I'm actually really looking forward to the multiplayer stuff releasing, and then, like, new Epic. I'm very suddenly interested in supplemental play to X-Wing, because I think the new stuff that's coming out is looking pretty cool. Is there anything you guys are really excited for in the next few months, maybe beyond just Worlds?
I agree. I've been definitely missing Epic, and so just having that return, I think, will be really cool. I'm actually pretty excited for these obstacle environment cards. Just more ways to mix it up.
And who knows? You know, we were talking about that. Maybe that'll become part of hyperspace. Or extended, I guess, if you get your way, Carson.
That's right.
I think I'm just kind of looking forward to going into the fall season. I feel like fall is one of the strongest times of year for X-Wing. You've got Worlds. It's kind of the culmination of... I mean, now it's the hyperspace trials, but like in previous years, it was Store Champs kind of came to a close, and it's just a really unique time to be playing X-Wing. People are kind of settling into things that they like. Plus, we're about to get a bunch of new content, so I just think this fall is going to be really good for X-Wing and for Star Wars fans in general. You know, we've got The Mandalorian coming out, we got Episode 9 coming out, got our new video game coming out, so all things Star Wars this fall.
Yeah, come mid-November, we all probably won't be getting much done.
Yeah, Disney Plus coming out soon. It's going to be a challenge. All right, so I guess to wrap this all up.
Embrace the overlords.
I guess to wrap this all up here, let's just kind of concisely summarize how would we, you know, overall rate this past year of X-Wing, the first year of second edition. John, let's start with you.
Sure. I'd rate this past year as the best I've had so far playing X-Wing. Just personally performing pretty well, but then just the amount of fun I've had with the community, really getting to know more people better and kind of bonding over this new edition of the game we've got. Yeah, definitely been really good, positive for me.
Carson, for you?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think back on, you know, all the other great years of X-Wing. You know, I definitely had fun at the peak Atani Mind Link meta. Also really enjoyed X-Wing, you know, when The Force Awakens launched and going into that store championship season. I think that was really strong. I think this is still better than all of those. Just the depth that we have in the competitive play environment right now, I think, is really strong. You know, we're almost a year in and there's still surprises, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Inquisitors just showing up out of nowhere and kind of dominating every event they show up at. So I think there's still, you know, a lot more to see. And I think that just speaks to, I think there's a pretty healthy competitive environment. It's just, you got a lot of diversity. You know, we all like to complain, but I think it's at a really good place right now.
Yeah, I think it's kind of just all of us being nerds. It's just complaining. It's just kind of what we do by nature. And you know, honestly, I think there are, you know, some challenges we still have to go through in the X-Wing game. I think the app obviously needs overhauling. I think the competitive environment is okay right now. I think it can always get better. But overall, I've had, you know, it's hard to say either my best or favorite time in X-Wing this past year. That store championship season right after the first edition Force Awakens core set launched, that was a really good time for me. I really did love that store championship season. So really, it's hard to beat that for me. But easily, if this is not the, you know, favorite time period I've had, this past year has been the second for sure. Overall, I'm very optimistic for the game, and I'm still excited to play. So that, I think that's a good sign after a year of second edition. Okay, so that about wraps it up for us. We're interested to hear your thoughts, though. Specifically, what are you excited about in the coming year of X-Wing? Did you like this past year, the first year of second edition? And what are some changes you'd like to see in the future? Let us know on our Facebook page. You can find the link for this episode, 180, facebook.com/radioTCX. And while you're there, you can go ahead and throw us a like. We always appreciate those. It only takes a second, but it does a lot for pushing the reach of this show.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really like the show, consider going on iTunes and leaving us a 5-star review saying what you liked and why other people should listen.
And if you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radioTCX and becoming a supporter of the show today. It really means so much to us.
Again, thank you all so much for listening to this show and continuing to support us even through this first year of Second Edition. I know a lot of people lost interest in the game. We've got some people joining the game. We really appreciate everyone who has supported us both through Patreon directly and just through listening to the show and sharing it with their friends. It really means so much to us, and this has been a really cool experience to be a part of the community in this way. We're incredibly thankful for that, and we're excited to see a lot of you at Worlds in just a few months. So, again, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. It's a trap.